It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, a look at efforts to boost the arts in rural and small-town Wisconsin.
First, Ben Carson just dethroned Donald Trump from the top of national polls as Republican candidates head into their third debate this evening. It's time now for a weekly look at the latest in national politics with Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538.
Washington, D.C. is a whirlwind of news this week. Congress and the White House have reached a budget deal. Paul Ryan poised to become House Speaker. GOP House members are moving to impeach the head of the IRS, and former House Speaker Dennis Hastert pleaded guilty to a federal financial crime this morning.
Harry Enten joins us every week at this time to talk politics. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
So let's look at the Republican primary race. Ben Carson now for the first time up on Donald Trump. So Donald Trump is number two, Ben Carson number one. So what is your take on this? Is this a harbinger of doom for Trump, or is this just a blip that we shouldn't worry too much about? At least you shouldn't worry too much if you're Donald Trump.
I think that most analysts, such as myself, have thought for a while now that the Trump campaign just couldn't sustain itself. I mean, this is Donald Trump we're talking about here. This is somebody who has never really run for political office outside of an aborted run for president in 2000. He makes lots of statements that I think most people would find to be politically incorrect, things that most pundits would normally dismiss that canon, say, oh, he's gone, he's done, forget him. And yet he's remained on top of the national polls. So I think most of us have been waiting for a moment where Trump finally started to lose some steam. And it does seem that that moment, even if it's not upon us exactly, it's the beginning of it. Because we see not only in that one national CBS New York Times poll, we'll want to see more national polls on that, but in the state of Iowa, which obviously hosts the first contest of the primary season, the Iowa caucus, we see that Ben Carson is clearly out ahead there by about 10 percentage points.
So would you read this as voters really liking Ben Carson and his message, or do you read this as Trump fatigue?
It could be read as either, but I think when we can look behind the numbers and we can look at what are called the net favorability numbers, which is voters are asked, do you have a favorable or unfavorable view of a particular candidate? And then if you subtract the favorable minus the unfavorable, you get the net favorability view. And Carson's net favorabilities are something on the order of like plus 70, plus 75, plus 80 in these different Iowa polls, while Trump's are about plus 20. So that's a tremendous difference. But Trump has always been in that neighborhood about plus 20, plus 25, which really isn't actually all that good, considering that if you're a Republican candidate, you expect to be doing very well among Republican voters. So to me, it's finally somebody who actually fits with the idea that voters choose among the most popular candidates to be their number one choice. The numbers are now finally starting to fit. So I think it's both the fact that Carson is so popular and that's why he's ahead, but also the fact that Trump really isn't all that popular, so it's not really surprising that he's behind now. It's more surprising that he was able to stay on top as long as he did.
Well, could you also read this, aside from the favorabilities you were just talking about, is Carson is sort of the anti-Trump. You know, he's quiet, he sounds reasonable, Trump is big and blustery. They're very different personality-wise.
I don't think you could find anyone more different. I guess if you put me in a Montana bar, and I've never been to Montana before, I would fit in as well as Carson would fit in a Trump rally. But if you look at the numbers where each of them are doing well, Carson is doing very well among voters who identify as born-again or evangelical Christian, and they tend to be much more soft-spoken, people who want to hear a message of hope. And Trump is the exact opposite of that. He is blustery. I want to make America great again. America's failing. And Carson just fits much better with who has done well in sort of Iowa in the past. Voters who speak about religion are comfortable talking about religion. And Donald Trump, for all of his, faults and all of his great things, one of his faults is that I just don't think he comes across as all that authentic when it comes to talking about religion.
So you've got that backdrop, and then tonight is the third Republican debate, and if the pass is any indicator, the cameras have loved Donald Trump. The moderators have wanted to hear what he had to say, arguably because the American public wants to hear him talk a lot. So going in, now that he's, maybe looking a little shakier, what is his job tonight?
I think his job is to, for one, try to not have moments like he had in the last debate where Trump is at his best, where he seems to be in control and he's going after people and he doesn't really shy away. And if you look back at that past debate, you saw when the comments that were placed in front of him that he had previously made about Carly Fiorina, and he kind of sort of backed away from them. I think Trump is at his best when he is on the attack, and Trump tonight is going to want to take the offensive. And we've sort of seen that. You know, he's sort of spoken about Carson and spoken about religion and trying to take, you know, come to the forefront with that. Trump just wants to project. It's all about projection with Trump. Trump wants to project winning, and when he doesn't project winning, that's when he's losing.
Now, his candidacy has been criticized from time to time for being short on specifics. So tonight, the center of the debate is supposed to revolve around policy, economic policy. So does that mean he should try to serve up some real statistics, some real plans about the economy?
I don't know that voters at this point particularly care about that, because if voters cared about particular policy, then Donald Trump wouldn't be where he is right now. But voters, you know, this is an economic debate. Obviously, that's where Trump has made his living, is in the economy. So that speaks more to his strength than, say, a debate that revolved around foreign policy. So he will be able to cite numbers, and maybe he can quell some of the people who have been dismissive of his campaign. But look, the truth is that Trump is never going to win over a large portion of Republican voters. And I think where Trump does best is when Trump is talking about his strengths and talking not necessarily in specifics, but I have a plan, I'm going to solve it, even if that plan isn't very specific.
We're talking national politics right now with our political correspondent, Harry Enten from 538. Right now we're taking stock of the Republican debate, which is airing tonight. And so we talked about Donald Trump, and then you've got Ben Carson, who seems to be edging up there. So what does he need to do tonight to maybe solidify the lead that he's building?
So, you know, Carson has been very interesting in these debates. I think, you know, coming out of the first debate in August, most pundits really didn't view Carson as all that strong, but there was a lot of social media buzz about him. Some people who, you know, have been on the ground a lot, talking with a lot of Republican voters, said that he came across as very genuine, a very nice guy, not politics as usual. That's sort of the place where Trump and Carson are very similar. They're not politics as usual. They just go about it in separate ways. And the way that Carson goes about it is being this guy who doesn't get into the mud. And I think that's where Carson does best. But the question's going to be, if Trump goes after Carson, will Carson be able to respond in a way that people see as a strong response? And I don't know what necessarily is a strong response that fits in with how Carson has been running his campaign, this sort of nice guy type of style. If he's able to be dismissive of Trump and make Trump seem small, I think that's really where he wants to be. But the other thing in terms of Carson, again, it's about the specifics, as you mentioned. He hasn't really been all that specific in these debates. He's been just very calm, but that has worked for him so far. So if you keep going well and you're rising, why should you differentiate yourself from the path you've been on?
Who do you think has done a good job at rallying, sparring with Donald Trump? Has anyone stood out to you?
To me, the person who stood out most is probably Marco Rubio. He went after Trump in the last debate. There was, you know, in the immediate aftermath of the last debate, Trump went after Marco Rubio, and Rubio was able to respond. And the way that it seems to work best is that you are able to get into the mud with Trump and sort of, you know, make these semi-funny personal attacks, but then bring it back to policy. Because, as you mentioned earlier, where Trump is weakest is on policy. And eventually votes are going to be determined about policy and where people stand. So if you're going to be successful in getting after Trump, you want to be able to make him seem small by getting in the mud, you know, doing those small little personal attacks, but then bringing it back to policy. And Rubio's been the best at that so far.
Let's take a caller. We've got Charlie on the line here with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is more that in the last week and a half, two episodes have shown that it doesn't appear that people care about our politicians being honest. In particular, Hillary Clinton has been shown to have at least advanced a false narrative that she knew was false with regards to what happened in Benghazi. And you also have Lois Lerner being let off the hook by the Justice Department as she took the Fifth for what happened at the IRS.
And we're going to get to that IRS stuff later on as we talk to Harry. But Harry, looking at some of these Democratic issues that have been talked about in the press recently, are they going to come up tonight? Is it important for Republicans to comment on what they saw, for instance, at the Benghazi hearing?
I think, you know, this is any time that Republicans have a chance to go after Hillary Clinton is a win for them. Hillary Clinton is almost certainly going to be the Democratic nominee now that Joe Biden has decided not to run. And Hillary Clinton's been a name in the press for about 25 years now. And we know that Republicans love to hear red meat going after Clinton. And while Democrats don't like to hear that, that's why Clinton's doing so well, why most Democratic voters don't care about the Benghazi hearings or think that they're partisan proceedings, while Republicans don't believe that at all. So, yeah, I would expect Republicans to try and circle back and go after Clinton, because going after fellow Republicans could be a win, could be a loss, but going after Clinton is always a win for Republicans.
We're talking to Harry Enten right now, senior political writer and analyst for 538, talking about the latest in national politics. The third Republican primary debate is this evening, and the House is preparing for new leadership. We'll be talking about that, too.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you make of the news that Ben Carson is beating Donald Trump in some of the latest national and Iowa polls? Or you can weigh in on the latest news out of Congress. Do you support Paul Ryan as Speaker of the House? What do you think of this new budget deal? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation now with Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538, looking at the latest in national politics. The third Republican primary debate is this evening, and the House is preparing for new Wisconsin-grown leadership.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you make of the news that Ben Carson is beating Donald Trump in recent national polls? And what do you think about Paul Ryan as a possible, looking more likely, speaker? And what is your take on the budget deal? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're with Harry Enten right now. And Harry, looking now at Paul Ryan, we've been watching, wondering, will he, won't he? It looks now like he will. And he's been nominated by the House. Full host House will vote tomorrow. And last week, you said you didn't think Ryan would become speaker because he had all these caveats attached to his possible speakership. What are you thinking today?
Well, obviously, I was wrong. No, I mean, look, this was an example where Ryan put forward, you know, different sort of things that he said would need to happen. In fact, one of them that he said that would need to happen that didn't actually happen was that he needed the endorsement of the Freedom Caucus, which he didn't get. He got more than a supermajority of support, more than two-thirds support, but he did not actually get the endorsement. And he said, you know what, I've got enough support anyway, so I'm going to run. So I guess Ryan was sort of, in the sense, not lying, but, you know, wanted to get as much support as possible. And then he got enough support and then said, that's good enough for me, and he kept on going. So, you know, Ryan didn't exactly get the criteria that he wanted, but he's going to run, and clearly he's going to be the next speaker unless something dramatic very much changes.
We're going to take a call now. We've got Nick joining us in Appleton. Hi, Nick.
Hey, hi Veronica. Hi, Rob. I guess Paul Ryan, he's from my hometown, Janesville. Honestly, I don't care for him too much. I'm kind of glad he's not going to be the chair of the Ways and Means Committee anymore. I honestly think he'll do less damage there as the House Speaker. And I just can't get over Ben Carson. I mean, I know Donald Trump's just completely out there, but Ben Carson just is like in another universe to me. I just can't believe people actually... I can't get over it. I mean, I think I heard something on NPR how he said he was going to regulate free speech or regulate bias in college campuses. And it was like, somebody said it was like the biggest offense of free speech. Like, I just can't believe people would think that.
All right. Well, Nick, thank you for calling. And you're from Paul Ryan's hometown. He says he's not crazy about Ryan, but he says maybe good that he won't be on the House Ways and Means Committee, according to Nick. What do you think about some of those opinions he's expressing? Are you hearing that?
Yeah, I heard it perfectly fine. I think, let me hit on a few of them. One, you know, being Speaker is a thankless job. I mean, yes, Ryan is going to be able to move certain pieces of legislation, but I think there's a reason why so many Republicans decided that they, in fact, did not want to be Speaker. And so the caller who just called in should be, I guess, I'm not pleased that Ryan is going to have a very tough job ahead of him, but he is going to be shackled by the same things that John Boehner was shackled by, and that is still a very conservative House Republican caucus that's going to be very difficult to move on certain issues. So Ryan is going to be constrained. As for Ben Carson moving up, I think that the caller expresses the opinion of a lot of people who aren't necessarily members of the Republican Party, or at least the members of the Republican Party who are supporting Ben Carson. They can't believe that he's doing so well. And I think that's part of the reason, some of the things that your caller mentioned in terms of free speech and the comments that he's made, that Ben Carson probably is not going to be the Republican nominee. Let's be honest here. I don't think Donald Trump is likely to be so either. These polls are still very early. We don't vote until next year. And so we'll have some fun as Carson and Trump go at it. But chances are it's not going to be either Trump or Carson who are going to be the nominees.
Now, looking at Paul Ryan for a moment, there are some political watchers who think that Ryan could have an easier time than John Boehner because he's more conservative than Boehner, so maybe it's not going to be as tough a job for him. Well, what do you make of that?
Sure. We can look at roll call votes. I did so last week, and that was one of the reasons why I held back, perhaps, and said, you know, I wasn't that sure that Ryan wouldn't be Speaker. I didn't think he was going to end up running for it, but he did. But one of the reasons that I thought he might is because he's significantly more conservative than John Boehner, at least according to his roll call vote record. And not only is he more conservative, but we can sort of judge someone's record by whether or not they tend to go with the establishment as often as they go with the anti-establishment vote. And Ryan is significantly more, at least in his voting patterns, anti-establishment than Boehner, obviously, who was the Speaker of the House, was. And he was about as anti-establishment as the House Freedom Caucus. So he could have an easier time going at it. And also, if we could look at, you know, today or what's coming up later today, is they're going to raise the debt ceiling. They're going to allow for not only raising the debt ceiling, but also raising the budget allowances, the sort of budget sequester budget gaps for defense and domestic spending. They're going to delay, you won't have to vote on those again until March of 2017, not until the next president is elected. So it's going to give Ryan a year and a half lease on life where he's not going to have to deal with those same problems that John Boehner had to deal with.
We're talking to Harry Enten right now, senior political writer and analyst for 538. We're talking about the latest in national politics right now. So speaking of the budget, is this a win for everybody?
I mean, I think it is a win for everybody. I think most people are calling it a win-win. The budget, the government's going to keep functioning. That's a good thing, I think most people would say. Democrats are like that. Republicans who don't necessarily like the deal that was struck are going to be able to yell and say that we don't like the deal that was struck, and there won't be any consequences for yelling because the deal has already been struck. And Republicans who don't want to get blamed for any budget impasses will be able to point out and say, in fact, this Republican Congress did its job and the government's going to keep on functioning. So, yeah, I think it's a win for most people.
So staying with the Republican Party now, House Republicans also made news yesterday by moving to impeach the IRS chief. What's the story there? Where are we with that?
This is the type of thing that I think that is going to go absolutely nowhere. We hear a lot about impeaching people, and this has to go back, you know, with the IRS investigating Tea Party groups. But the IRS claims that they have fully cooperated, and polling indicates that most people see this as a partisan issue. And once things are divided between Democrats and Republicans fairly evenly, given that we have a divided government right now, and the Senate, even though it's in Republican control, is not a supermajority or even, you know, a closure-proof majority, 60 votes in the Senate for Republicans, it's just something that is just not going to go anywhere.
Well, let's look big picture now at the Republican Party. Nate Silver wrote a 538 piece wondering if the Republican Party is in disarray. This has been, it's been sort of a trope that's been running through political commentary for the past several years. But, you know, Nate's looking at the question, is it really? So what do you have to say about that? Where are we with that?
Well, you know, Nathaniel, who is my boss, and Nate and I get along great. We share smiles with each other in the hallway and online. But, you know, I think the question is whether or not the Republican Party, you know, coming back to the big question, why we're asking this question, will the Republican Party be able to nominate a candidate for president who appeals not only to the base of the Republican Party, but is someone who can win in the general election. And I think most people would agree that looking at the polling numbers and looking at the statements that the candidates have made, Donald Trump and Ben Carson are people who are just not going to be able to compete very competitively in a general election. Is the Republican Party going to be able to force the hand of the voters and be able to choose someone like a Marco Rubio or like a John Kasich or somebody who has elected office experience and can compel voters to vote for them, can speak to the center of the electorate in a general election? We just don't know the answer to that right now, because the number one thing that we look at is endorsements from elected officials. And on the Democratic side, we see Hillary Clinton getting well over 60% of them, while on the Republican side, Jeb Bush, who is leading the endorsement race, only has about 4% of the possible endorsements at this point. And that's leading. That is leading. So we're going to see if a candidate is able to get not only 4%, but 10, 20, 30, 40% as we go on in the primary season. So we don't know if the Republicans are in disarray or not. Right now, they are certainly not arrayed, but whether or not that continues is going to be the question that ultimately potentially determines whether or not Republicans can really compete in next year's general election.
Harry, thanks a lot for talking today.
Thanks so much.
That was Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. He joins us every week at this time with the latest in national politics.